9, and we're going to look at verse 3. We're talking about Saul of Tarsus, his conversion. And I can't even remember where we left off last time. It's been so long, I have to go back and watch it. I feel like I'm going to have to start back in Acts 1. Just kidding. We're not going all the way back there. All right, we'd be transgressors. All right, so anyway, go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with me, with him, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. And they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. So we see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus here. He sees the Lord on the way on the road to Damascus. I want you to notice some similarities, though, between the Mount of Transfiguration, what takes place here with Saul of Tarsus. Go back to Matthew 17. You're going to see some correlations here. Look at Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17:1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. Notice Paul seeing the great light. Pastors talked about it many a times as of late, talking about that sun of righteousness, right? Malachi 4:2. So you see that the sun is a type of Christ, okay? And that's right here. He says his face did shine as the sun, and you'll see the same thing in Revelation 1:16. And his raiment was white as light, and behold, there appeared on him Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter and said, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. Just like Paul hears a voice, right? Which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He's got to see and he's got to hear. Paul sees and he hears. Peter, James, and John, they see and they hear. Just like Isaiah 6:10. Remember we went back to that? Okay. And he says, When the disciples heard it, they were sore. They fell on their face, just like Paul does, and were sore afraid, just like Isaiah does in Isaiah chapter 6. Right? When he sees the Lord high and lifted up, he says, Oh, woe is me. Right? So here's the encounter, and Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, notice that they saw no man save Jesus only. Just like Paul, when he's blinded for 3 days and he opens his eyes, he sees no man. You ought to not be looking at just men all the time. You ought to be looking at Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith, right? Does God use men to guide us and teach us the scriptures? Absolutely. But are we to worship those men? No, you're to worship Jesus Christ and him only, right? All right, so you can see the correlation, a little bit of the typology there and the Mount of Transfiguration. So great. So Paul has a great encounter with God, and that light from heaven comes down, and he sees the Lord, all right? Now look at kind of what takes place here in Paul's life. You've got conversion in verse 6. Notice what he calls him. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What does the thief on the cross call the Lord? Calls him Lord. Okay, what's that make him? Lord. What does that mean, though? A lot of people use that word, and so Adonai in the Old Testament is Lord, and then you have Jehovah, right? So he's God manifest in the flesh, right? What do all the new Bibles try to tell you? In 1 Timothy 3:16, they change God to he. They say he who was manifested versus God manifest in the flesh. Did he come in the flesh? If he didn't come in the flesh, he couldn't pay for our sins. All right? So he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he recognizes him. He's not just Christ, but he's Lord. Look at back at Acts 2. Look at Peter, this revelation Peter gives to the nation of Israel. Look back at Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 36. Well, look at, here we go again, Brother Barry. Look at verse 34. Can't help it. 2:34, for David is not ascending into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord, see the capital L-O-R-D, said unto my Lord. So the capital L-O-R-D in the Old Testament is what? Jehovah, right? Said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, notice this, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's not just the Messiah, he's God manifest in the flesh. Amen. See that revelation? All right, so Paul, he says, Lord. When does he get saved? Right there. Look at Romans 10. There's a transition here now, isn't there? Look at Romans chapter 10. Who writes Romans? Paul does, right? Look at Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now who was already saved just like this? The Ethiopian eunuch, right? So Paul writes Romans. He got converted by saying, he confessed with his mouth, believed in his heart, God hath raised him from the dead. Well, obviously he's looking at him right there. You think he believed in the resurrection? Now, is that how you understand that you're not going to get converted. Nobody here was converted like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. You didn't get knocked off a horse and seen God manifest in the flesh in front of you, right? He's a special vessel. However, you can see the conversion. He calls him Lord. All right? Is this before or after baptism? Before, right? You get saved when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm trying to show some things here. Look at conversion, then you got commitment. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's a great question, isn't it? Does he tell him exactly all of his will right away? No. Matter of fact, he blinds him, and he says, go into the city. And he's got to be led, and he's got to walk by faith. Is that how you have to do it? That's right. The Lord doesn't just lay out your plan for the rest of your life, because if he did, probably 90% of us would not do it. Because if you're going to do anything great for God, what must happen? You must suffer. And is Paul going to suffer? Yeah, but is he willing? He's willing. So you got to be willing. Paul was willing. But look at verse 11. I'm just kind of giving you the footnotes here. Look at verse 11. He's praying. We're going to go through the verses. I just want to give you kind of an outline here. And this is talked about Elias. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. So there's communion taking place. That's the first time Saul of Tarsus ever had communion with the Father after his conversion. Amen? All right. Not only that, we see consecration. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priests and all that call upon thy name. That's actually verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. All right, so you see consecration in Paul's life. So you see conversion, you see commitment, you see communion, and you see consecration. And later in Acts chapter 13, he's going to be separated unto, Paul and Barnabas get separated unto the ministry. Sanctified to do God's will. See that pattern, right? Paul is our pattern, is he not? That's what he says. He's our pattern. All right, so you can see that in a nutshell. All right, now we're going to get into kind of some more of the details in these three accounts here. Let's go back. So we've got this here. What wilt thou have me to do? All right, so Paul is a chosen vessel. All right, and God's going to use him mightily, is he not? All right, so but in order to get the full account of what took place here, we've got to go to three different places, Acts 9, 22, and 26. But let's go back to the passage, verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So he's not living off physical food right now, is he? What's he living off of? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Deuteronomy 8:3. Just like the Lord in his temptation. He's living off the word of God. All right? And he says this, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now, this Ananias is an interesting character. His name means Jehovah is gracious. Okay, Ananias, now this man here we'll see in Acts chapter 22 is a Gentile. He's a proselyte to Judaism. A lot of folks don't know that, and why that's important is because I've told you this time and time again, the hyper-dispensationalists will try to say that there was no Gentiles. This is a Jewish church. Well, there's a Gentile proselyte to Judaism right here. His name's Ananias, and he's going to be the one that baptizes Saul of Tarsus. You think God's got a sense of humor? He's using a Gentile to baptize this Jew. Amen? And I'll show you this in Acts 22, but I don't want to take up too much time, all right? But look at it says in verse 11, the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind and to call and all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Notice this, before the who? Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So what's Paul's primary calling? To the Gentiles. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. All right? So we're about to see a transition here, are we not? We've taught a lot on these things. We're kind of here to this point. And we're going to go back to some other passages in the Old Testament. But first, I want you to go to Acts chapter 22. We're going to look at some things because there's not every detail is explained here in Acts 9. There's more things that are said. Acts chapter 22. Some of these things he's going to be recalling the same account, but there's some other words and some other instructions that were given. Look at verse 11. When I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And when Ananias, a devout man according to the law, notice this, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. So he's a Gentile proselyte. He had a good report of all the Jews. All right, he says, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour, I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers. Now, here's the important part here. He's saying the God of our fathers. Just like Ruth said, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. There's a Gentile convert to Judaism, and he's claiming the fathers of the Jew because he got brought into that covenant. Amen? He was a stranger and was brought in. Circumcision, all those things that needed to take place for a true proselyte to Judaism. Right? They had to be circumcised, Genesis 17, all of those things. And so this is Ananias. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. All right? See the seeing and the hearing? For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. He says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, notice this, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Is that how your sins are washed away?
No.
How are your sins washed away? The moment you believe on Christ. Now, can you see how somebody can take that verse and get messed up in the book of Acts, thinking that pool has something to do with washing away your sins? All right, I'll give you this. Let me flip this over. Try to break it down simply. Talking about these baptisms. So we got, well, write for me. John the Baptist, right? All right. John the Baptist, his baptism is for revelation. Okay, let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse 29. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. So John the Baptist's baptism was to reveal Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel. It's for revelation. All right. Next you've got Peter. Acts 2:38. All right. What's that for? That's for salvation of a nation. But they don't get complete salvation until the Lord returns, blotting out their sins from his return. Acts 3:19. Is that the same as yours now? No. Do people use this one? Yes. Acts 2:38. Yes. I just talked about the pool. Church of Christ, Catholic, mainline Protestants, they believe that getting dunked in that pool is going to wash away your sins. And where do they get that from? They get it from Scripture. But it's not rightly divided. That's why it's important to know doctrine and to rightly divide the word of truth. Can that be confusing? Sure it can. They say, well, it's right here. Church of Christ, they love to use that verse, Acts 2:38, and then they take it over to James and say, works without faith is dead. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. All right. Now, let's look at this baptism here of the Spirit. All right. What Paul preaches. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Is that a baptism of water? No. It's not. It's a baptism of the Spirit that puts you into the body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. This, the baptism you do when you get dunked in that pool, is simply an illustration to show everybody that I'm recognized with Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. It's not for your salvation, you've already been saved. See, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Thou mayest, if thou believest with all thine heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, now let's go down to the water. See the difference? So John the Baptist, it's for revelation. Peter's baptism is almost a continuation of John the Baptist, but it's for salvation of a nation. They have to come down and be baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? But you, it's an illustration. Simply, that's all it is. Can a person be saved and never be baptized? Yes. Thief on the cross is your greatest example. They didn't rip him off the cross and baptize him. Okay? Amen? But you see the difference? What I want you to see is how easily you can get tripped up in the book of Acts. All right? Now, I'll flip this board back over. Notice he says, verse 14, that thou shouldest know his will. All right. Paul's going to be given some things from the Lord directly, as he says in Galatians. He didn't receive the revelation by man, but by Jesus Christ. All right, so let's look at his will. Look at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. Now, in Ephesians, this is tricky because there's two main heresies taught out of Ephesians. One's Calvinism, one is hyperdispensationalism. You got to be careful with Ephesians. I've already taught through Ephesians in that Bible study, but look at here. Look at Ephesians 1:9. These things are given to Paul. Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. You get in over here into eternity, you're going to be seeing some great and wonderful things, and everything's going to come all back into Christ. But notice that word dispensation. We'll get to Acts 26 here in a moment. Dispensation. What does that mean? Some say it's time. Anybody else have any other answers? What is a dispensation? It's a dispensing. I'm going to show you here just in a moment how that thing cannot be a period of time. It's a dispensing. Oikonomia is the Greek word that just means house law. Something is dispensed to Paul, and there's a dispense here in Ephesians 1. There's a dispensation of fullness of times. After all of the times have been dispensed, then he's going to bring all things back into himself. All right, now this word right here trips a lot of folks up. Am I a dispensationalist? Yeah, but I'm a Bible believer. You got to be careful how that word is used, because look over here. I'm going to show you how it's used in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, Paul is given, he's getting to know the mystery of God's will. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. The reason Paul is in prison is for preaching both Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ, that we both have access through the Spirit. He says that up in verse 2:18. He says, notice this here, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. All right, who's heard that we live in the dispensation of grace? All right, most folks, and that is commonly used. All right, so that comes from that verse right there. And a lot of folks will teach this thing as a period of time. Schofield teaches it in his study Bible. You've got to be careful with this thing, because I'm going to show you over here in Colossians, this thing can't just be a period of time. Something is dispensed to Paul. What is dispensed to him? Keep reading the passage. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So if that's a period of time, Paul was given a period of time. Look at the verse. See how it reads? Keep going. How that by revelation, here's the revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, now we're getting into some meat here, other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, do you have other ages? Yes. Okay, and those have to do with covenants. I'm not going to get into a whole big thing here about teaching the covenants and all that in the Old Testament, but if you don't understand covenants, you're not going to understand what Paul's talking about. Remember the everlasting covenant made with Noah? Is that the same covenant you're under? Remember the covenant of the law? Who was that given to? Moses, right? You're under the New Testament, which is in his blood. But there's ages before how God dealt with his people. That's, if you want to look at it in that sense, how God, oikonomia, that means house law, how God set up his furniture in his house, and he dealt with people within his house. Does God deal with men differently? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We're in the age of grace, and God deals with us differently than he did that Jew under the law, does he not? Amen. Amen. Okay, go back to the passage, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Did Peter know that? No, because we're going to see in Acts chapter 10 when he says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Not so, Lord. What does that great sheet knit at the four corners represent? Gentiles. They're unclean animals. That stuff, all that revelation was not given to Peter, it's given to Paul. He's a chosen vessel to go before the Gentiles. Okay? Keep reading. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace. So there's that grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. God was given the grace to understand these mysteries so that he could take them to the Gentiles and the Jew, but the Jew rejects mostly. Is this making sense to you? Keep reading. And to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. See how grace is used? It's not just having to do with your salvation. God can give you a grace. God has given me a grace in a gift to be able to teach and to preach. That's a grace. So you have to pay attention how the word is used. Okay, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice this, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? Amen. Now, but that mystery is given to Paul. Now go over here to Colossians. That the Jew and the Gentile are going to make up the same body. That was not given to Peter, it's given to Paul. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 25. He's going to be saying a lot of the similar things that he says in Ephesians. Notice what he says in verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Now see what happens when you make dispensation a period of time? Is God a period of time? See how you can get tripped up? Look at what was the dispensation of God? The grace that God gave to Paul. Keep reading. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery with which hath been hid in from ages, just like he said in Ephesians, and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know that before. Did he come into men in the Old Testament? Could he leave them? Yes. But you, he cannot leave. You're sealed until the day of redemption. That was not known before Paul. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after that ye believed, notice this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That was not known in other ages. Now they could not be sealed in the Old Testament. Why not? Christ had not come and died on the cross. Look at John 7. Look at John chapter 7. Look at verse 37. How many times have you heard that John's gospel is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke? 1,000 times from this pulpit, I know that. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So in the Old Testament, were they sealed? Couldn't be. Why? You had to have the death of the testator. Hebrews chapter 9. Without the death of the testator, you could not be sealed by the Holy Ghost. He's the comforter. It's the promise of the Father. Now you and I, as a bunch of Gentile dogs, got in by simply believing on Jesus Christ, and we received the Spirit. Was it through baptism? No, through faith. Look at Galatians 3. Look at Galatians 3. Notice the difference. Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's a revelation. He's not saying repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, is he? No, he's not going to be preaching that. Why? That thing was offered to that Jew, they rejected it. And he's going to give it to another nation, bringing forth fruits thereof. Amen? That thing is different. All right, so we're looking at dispensation and all that. Paul was given grace to understand the mysteries. Paul's given 6 of them. We just went through 2 of them. All right, to understand the mysteries, the Jew and the Gentile, both in the same body, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, mystery of godliness, all the other mysteries that Paul's given, and he's going to be giving those to the Gentiles. And it's your responsibility as stewards of God to know the mysteries. If Christians understood the mysteries given to Paul and John in Revelation, you wouldn't have the problems you have. You wouldn't have the heresy problems that you have. But the problem is, they don't study to show themselves approved. They don't rightly divide the word of truth. And everybody gets mixed up in the book of Acts, Hebrews, James, all these transition epistles. Amen. Raise your hand if any of this is new information. A lot of folks. This is not just some book that preachers make a living out of. This is the Word of God. Amen. And if you don't rightly divide it, you can get messed up. All right, so go back to Acts chapter 22, and we'll say more on these things. 22:14, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear from the voice of his mouth. Notice this, just like he says in Ephesians, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So Paul's a witness unto all men, just like he said in Ephesians. He's bringing that mystery to all men, did he not? Amen. Amen. And here we are, we're products of that. Okay, look at Acts 26. Acts 26. For sake of time, go to verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is the Lord talking to him. To make thee a minister and a witness, just like he says over there, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So there's progressive revelation with Paul, isn't there? He doesn't get it all right here. Okay? Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. He's quoting Isaiah 42. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, your fellow heirs with those Jews, right? The whole family of God, which is, notice this, are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. You see the difference? Look at Peter, how he agrees with Paul. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Who's the strangers? Jew or Gentile? Gentile, right? Notice this, elect. There's that elect word. According to what? The foreknowledge of God. The Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. What's that obedience have to do with? Remember when I taught Romans, some of you? Go back to Romans 16. Look at Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, just like we're talking about, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. How do you get saved? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is that different than what Peter was preaching? Now, I want to quickly, as quick as I can, how do we get from go not in the way of the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 10 to now he's sending Saul of Tarsus to the Gentiles? Let's go back all the way to Genesis. I want you to see a principle here laid down in Genesis. Look at Genesis 24. Anybody who knows their Bible knows what Genesis 24 has to do with. It has to do with Rebekah, right? Eleazar, the servant of Abraham, the type of the Holy Spirit. Look at Abraham, type of the father. Eleazar is a type of the Holy Spirit. He sent out to find a bride for his son, Isaac. And he only has one bride. Isaac's a type of Christ, which makes Rebekah what? Type of church. But you got to be careful. I've said this many times. When you're looking at typology, a lot of times there's a dual type. Look over here in Genesis 24. For sake of time, look at verse 38. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Now, he's talking about his father's house. Well, who would that be in type? If Abraham's the type of the father, who would that be? That's right. The Lord calls that temple my father's house. Then he says, my house, and then he says, your house. So he goes first to who? To the Jew. He's seeking him a bride. Did Christ come and seek a bride? Did he offer it to that Jew? See how this thing's a mystery? Now, who do you think, when Paul goes down to Arabia, and he gets a nice little Bible study from the Lord, and he shows all things concerning himself, I guarantee he took him to Genesis 24. Now, look at the principle. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred. He came into his own received him not. Right? And of my father's house. Then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. When thou comest to my kindred, and if they give thee not thee one, thou shalt be clear from thy oath. He offered it to the Jew. Did they go with him? No, they didn't. Look back over here. Look at verse 47. And I asked her, he's talking about Rebecca. She comes to the well, just like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She's a Gentile, right? All right, and I asked her, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, from Milcah bare him unto him. And I put earring upon her face and bracelets upon her hands. It's a seal. It's a sign. It's an earnest. It's like putting earnest money down. Just like you've got the earnest of the Spirit. Amen? All right. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother, daughter, son unto him, so on and so forth. Look at verse 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth, just like Paul. Amen. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and of jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. She's adorned like a bride. Are you seeing the typology? He gave her also her brother and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, and at the least 10, after that she shall go. And he said unto her, hinder me not. He's steadfast, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. Type of the Holy Spirit. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Here comes the decision. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Amen. Amen. You see the decision? You see the free will? He said, okay. I come to seek a wife from my father's house. He comes to that Jew, they reject. He said, okay, fine. I'll go to this Gentile and I'll ask her, will you go? And she said, I will go. And God uses Saul of Tarsus to do that. And we're all products of that. He's got him a Gentile bride. She's got Jews in there though too, right? It's not just Gentile, it's Jew and Gentile. So that's why there's three divisions. He says, give none offense to the Jew, the Gentile, or the Church of God, which is made up of what? Both Jew and Gentile, and who's that mystery given to? Saul of Tarsus. Is that making sense? Any questions? I've covered a lot of ground. We're not done yet, but we've run out of time. So is there any questions? It's a lot of stuff to kind of take in.
So Acts 9:18, when Paul was converted, he sent the scales fell from his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what the problem with the Jews, the scales?
Right. And so he's talking about the scales upon his eyes. All right, so go back here to Job. The scales fall from his eyes, just like he says in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Look at Job. Look at Job 41. Notice what these scales are connected to. It's a good question. Job 41 is Leviathan. Anybody know who Leviathan is? That old serpent, that crooked one, right? Look at verse 15. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. So when Paul's scales fall from his eyes, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What happened on the road to Damascus? A great light. Who did he see? Jesus Christ. What's the Jews' problem right now? Why do they have scales on their eyes? Pride. Where's that come from? Where's that originate? Who started that?
Satan.
See what happens when you reject light? And you reject light because of pride. You know why people can't learn? Pride. And that's the Jews' problem to this day. Now Paul, and I've talked about this before, but Paul is a type of that Jew in the tribulation. He's going to have a revelation. He's going to show himself to that Jew, and those scales are going to fall from their eyes as a nation. The remnant. It's a good question. But what'll keep you from learning this book is your pride. You don't come to the Bible with a preconceived notion of things that you think it says.
Right.
You come to the Bible and let the Bible speak to you.
Right.
And let God show you things out of this book. A believing heart is essential for understanding the Bible. Lean not unto thine own understanding. What's that Jew's problem right now? What's every lost person's problem? They're leaning under their own understanding. You want to know God's will? Don't try to figure it out. Ask God.
Amen.
Whenever you deal with somebody who says, well, the Bible's written by man, don't waste your time.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? God didn't call us to win arguments. He called us to win souls. When you're dealing with a prideful person in the spirit of contention, you're not getting anything out of them. They got scales in their eyes. They cannot see. It's spiritually discerned. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen?
So when those scales fall from his eyes, that's a great type. Okay?
He was just he persecuted Jesus Christ so much that he went down and he asked him who he was.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and he believed on him. When he told him who he was, he believed on him, just like that Jew, that nation of Israel will. All right, any other questions? Good question. Yep. Uh-huh. Right. Sure. Right. Right. He came to fulfill all righteousness. Right. He submitted himself to John the Baptist. That's his humbleness. But understanding the baptism of John the Baptist, like I said, is for revelation. And people get messed up all the time, not rightly dividing the word of truth, not understanding. How about the baptism of suffering? Matthew chapter 20. James and John, remember? They wanted to be baptized. He said, are you ready to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? He said, you will be. What is that? The baptism of suffering. How about the baptism of fire? That's the second advent of Jesus Christ. See, there's seven baptisms in the Bible. Okay? And so understanding the difference in the baptisms will keep you out of hot water. And hopefully I made them simple enough to where you can understand it when you study the Bible. Okay? Revelation, salvation to a nation, and illustration. 1 Peter 3:21. Okay? Any other questions? It's a good point on baptism. You've got to know that. There'll be a test later. Sean's giving it. All right. Okay, well, it's good to be back. Forget half the things you taught. You're out for 2 weeks. So I appreciate y'all listening. And next week, we'll continue on in Acts 26. We'll try to... This is an important part. These are important scriptures to understand who Saul of Tarsus is and his purpose. Okay? If you don't get that, the rest of the Bible's not going to make sense to you. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can trust it. Thank you for all the men who came in before us and preserved your word and through their blood and under persecution. And Father, we just do thank you in this day that we live in now, in the last days, Father. And we just pray for our pastor today. Pray that you lift him up, Lord. Give him strength to preach one more time. Give him that anointing, that unction. And Father, we just do thank you. Thank you for the folks that have come out today. Pray for Brother Barry as he leads the singing. And thank you for the choir and all those involved with that. And Father, we just do thank you. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.